I've paid my dues time after time. I've done my sentence, but committed no crime. And bad mistakes.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Anne Levine Show. It's September 15th, 2020. And we are joined by the big champion of our house, Mr. Michael Levine.
Hello.
And you can feel the champion spirit when he greets us.
Can't you, though?
Did you? I got really tingles on my bone spurs.
Yeah, it's beautiful. I would think so.
It was beautiful. I play this song, we bring this song to you, because of the U.S. Open. And they had this whole championship thing going on in the U.S. Open.
Yeah.
Where, well, first of all, there's no audience.
Right.
No fans. But they did have these, like, Zoom walls. These big walls where... I don't know how you got onto them, but
right, yeah,
it would be just like 100 Zoom fans,
right,
on either side of the courts, and which I actually liked.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty cool.
I mean, the first couple games I watched were kind of weird.
Yeah,
that quiet.
It took some getting used to,
but I did get used to it. I don't know if that's good or bad. It was a thrill. Michael and I are both tennis fans.
Yeah.
And players. I mean, our doubles game, don't ask.
Yeah, don't
do
ask. You're right.
Do not ask what our doubles game looks like.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I mean, we do have a court right there.
We have a town court about... It's just right there.
You could throw a rock to it.
If you could throw, which neither of us can.
Right. That's why we play tennis.
Right, because we can do things with rackets.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so it was so exciting to have the Open. At first I thought, I don't know if this is a good idea, it could be depressing, la 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 la.
Yeah.
It was great.
It really was.
And following is... the French Open, which is coming up,
that's
in a couple weeks.
That's a little weird, right? Because it's not. I mean, it's supposed to have been played already.
Well,
right?
All of the
yeah.
I mean, basically, the season started with Wimbledon's canceled.
Yeah,
but it looks like the French and possibly the Italian.
Oh, right, Rome.
I'm
but
not
a lot
sure.
of people, they said during this tournament that a lot of those people have decided not to go to Rome.
Well, Italy is the country where the COVID nightmare was the worst for such a long time.
Right.
And it might be partly because of that.
Yeah.
But what they did for the U.S. Open was just genius. They created a bubble.
Right, yep.
And a bubble within a bubble.
You could get in.
You can get out.
You can get out.
But you can't get back in.
You can't get back in. Once you're in, you're in.
You're in. You're in.
Once you're out, you are out.
The outcome of the games, well, before I get to winners and let's not call them losers, winners and runners up.
There you go. Yeah.
Champions.
You said correctly, you know.
Well, I mean.
I know. And I'm grateful for that, though, because, you know, most Americans would not say runners up.
They would say runner ups.
Right. Yeah.
Or sister in laws.
Yeah. It would drive me nuts.
Yeah. No, so. I learned the language when I was quite young.
Yes, okay.
And
good for you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And it is my pleasure to speak it correctly whenever possible.
Yes. Well, you do such a good job.
Not necessarily with a good accent.
Right.
Ugh,
yeah. Well,
speaking of learning.
Mm-hmm.
Sarah Lawrence College.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I heard about that place.
Is the brunt of so many jokes, but let me just tell you that there is a poet.
Yeah.
And her name is...
Anne Levine.
Her name is... Shoot.
Michelle.
Melissa.
Oh, Melissa.
Stuttered.
That's yeah.
And she is phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
She got her MFA from Sarah Lawrence. And when I look at the lists of poets that came out of there,
right, okay,
I feel better. You know, because Sarah Lawrence, everyone talks about, oh, it's a bunch of rich Jewish lesbians.
Uh-huh, okay. Well,
and that's...
Good for them.
Not, I mean, look, there's one or two. But
right, yeah.
What, there's one or two everywhere. But...
Look, okay, yeah.
But and who all take poetry classes?
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
there
yes,
are
and guess what?
Hmm?
They win all the contests.
There you go.
They're fantastic.
Well, you know,
Grace Paley.
Talented,
come on,
a lot of talented people.
Melissa Stuttered, Tom Lux. I'm just talking poets.
I know.
I mean,
because but if you stop at poets. I mean, you can't talk about Carrie and
Carrie
Ellis,
who's coming up on some weird COVID princess bride reenactment.
Sort of reunion reenactment thing.
Crap.
Yeah.
Anyway,
it's a charity thing. I think it's cool.
What's the charity?
It has something to do with Black Lives Matter and, or.
Or
Actors Equity, or you know, the
it's got something to do with the charity,
yeah, yeah,
which shall remain nameless,
yeah,
until we remember.
Yeah, I'll have to look it up.
Okay, look, a few things happened at the Open, as y'all know. One of the most important things that gets so overlooked are. Now, one of the most important things is...
Okay, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Fashion.
Yes, that is true.
Fashion, outfits, very important.
And especially at New York, where you can kind of wear whatever you want. You know, unlike some other, like Wimbledon, you know, everybody's wearing whites.
Yeah, there's like even a percentage.
Okay, yeah.
No, I mean of... so much, like 90% of your clothes has to be white.
Oh, right,
like you
right,
could have
yeah,
a little
yeah.
blue stripe or a thing.
Right.
Yeah,
your logo can still be a green alligator.
Yep.
But it's going to be a white shirt.
That is so true.
Yeah, right.
Okay, so.
It really is true. Yeah, that's what I heard.
And it really is.
It's really true.
True.
Well, and that's from our new album coming out.
What is
next
our
month.
New album?
Did we title it yet? I thought you were going to do that.
You know,
you're
what
you're
always
the,
say.
Well, you are the one that's really good with the titles.
The titler.
So, yeah, you are the titler.
All right. So there was one player.
Okay,
and I
yep.
think his name is John Millman. Now, my engineer is going to look up and double check. But there was this player who was sweating to a point that it was actually hard to watch based on the novel Push by Sapphire.
Oh, Millman. Okay.
It yeah. was hard to
yeah, he's an Aussie.
Watch.
Yeah.
Okay, Nick, you know, your countrymen, we had a couple of problems with Australian players.
The guy was sweating buckets, really, yeah.
He changed after the first set, after the second set, in the beginning of the third set,
uh-huh.
and then after the third set.
Yeah.
And funny, he didn't win.
No.
Can't imagine why.
No, but it went, but it went five sets.
When he walked off the court, not off the court, but when he left the bubble.
Yeah.
Right, and he was walking away. He had a huge laundry bag in one of his hands. And yeah. I mean it, a laundry
yeah.
bag.
Yeah, well, I mean, he had a lot of laundry in there, so.
Yeah, and so that was one crazy, I mean, come on, three costume changes.
And he was taking a lot of time to do it, too, and it finally got to the point to where if he wanted to do a costume change, he had 90 seconds to do it. That's all the officials were going to give him.
No,
so.
And who, I don't know who he was playing, but.
Yeah. Tiafo.
Oh, he, so he, didn't Tiafo lose?
No.
All right. No. Well, Tiafo's an American.
Yeah.
That I had
I
not
mean,
seen play before.
In the third round,
right.
I think, but yeah.
Well, anyway, not only does this, the sweat is so disgusting. The fact that, and the fact that not only this guy had to change, do like three or four costume changes.
Yeah.
Which, you know, that's like more than if you're in the chorus of La Cage aux Folles. I mean, it's ridiculous.
It's a lot of
and
changes,
I would think
yeah.
that would be really disturbing to your opponent.
I would think so, too.
If
yeah.
you were running off the court and changing constantly.
Right. Come back with a new look.
I don't know about
that. That would be weird.
Although, it could be kind of fabulous.
It could be fabulous. I mean, but he didn't come out wearing
I'm
wings or anything
like that. I'm actually changing my
know.
Mind. Wings?
Yeah,
what?
Or, you know, anything other than just regular tennis clothes. So he didn't come out with something
I wonder
fabulous.
If there's a rule that you have to change into the same outfit.
I don't think so.
So
you know,
you
maybe
could
he could have put a skirt on, you know, in one of the
so
one
we
of the
could,
sets or
he
something.
He could have, and yeah. I wish more male players would wear yeah. more short skirts.
Now that might have, you know, knocked his opponent off a little bit, seeing him play in a skirt.
Depending who, it could have been yeah. the beginning of a love story. And when we're talking skirts, you know, we need to be talking like David Rose, Schitt's Creek.
Right, okay.
You
yeah.
know, he can pull off a man's skirt.
Right.
Like nobody.
I've seen a lot of guys successfully wear a utility kilt.
Yes.
Those just look good.
They do, but they, we're used to seeing that.
Yeah.
You know, I mean.
Yeah, that is true.
It's not a complete anomaly, whereas David Rose, who wears sort of a boxy pencil. I know
yeah,
those
I
are
don't...
opposites, but he
yeah.
wears like a boxy pencil mm-hmm. skirt, if that makes any sense. All right, never yeah. mind. So that was the first thing.
Right, so we had that.
Then another guy from Australia. Now, I talked about how they pronounce things.
Uh-huh.
So, according to how I have heard them pronounce things,
yeah,
I would say that this guy's name, last name, is Daimanawa.
All right.
What
is it actually?
In my language, I'd say Demonor. Or Demon Hour.
How do you spell it?
It's Diminaur.
Oh, okay.
All right. So anyhow, this guy comes out to play his match. Again, I don't know who he was playing, but that's not the point here.
Yeah.
He had a mustache. Okay, so tennis,
he played team.
Tennis mustaches are not a thing.
No, and they really never have been.
And it's yeah. wrong.
Yeah.
It's wrong.
It really
But you know
is.
What's really wrong?
Yes, I
is
do.
Is when you come out to play tennis, you're from Australia, and you have a Hitler mustache.
Yeah.
So When he came out, I audibly gasped.
Uh-huh.
I said, oh, Michael, yeah. look at that mustache.
I had to keep looking because I could not believe the guy is up there with a Hitler mustache.
My favorite part, though, is when John McEnroe said, and we've got Demonor from Australia. On the other side, he's done this, 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 and this this year. And then he said, quote, I don't know about that mustache. I think he needs to rethink that.
Yeah.
And
yeah, I'm with you on that one, John.
It's the first time John McEnroe and I ever agreed on anything. And a lot of you know that Johnny Mac and I went to school together.
Yeah.
We were not best friends.
Oh, no, really? Not after he knocked your books out of your hand?
Every day.
Every day?
Every day, fourth period.
Yeah, just making fun of that girl there in the hall. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I was not the only...
Well, no,
you know,
no, of course.
Hashtag me too.
No, he was
I was
jerk.
Not the only John McEnroe victim.
Yeah.
Male or female.
Punk.
At any rate, the best hair went to Azarenka.
Azarenka.
Vika, as her close personal friends
call
her.
Yeah,
Victoria Azarenka, who was the champion, who had the most cool, like, braids.
Yeah.
That looked like they were... like a jumble almost, but they weren't. You could tell. I don't know. It was so cool.
She had several different types of braids in her hair that were intertwined.
Mm-hmm.
It was really cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then, of course, we had the different ticks, right? So the big tick.
Big tick.
Nadal
yeah.
was not there.
Right, yeah, not there.
Roger wasn't there.
Roger, no.
And Djokovic hit a lineswoman in the throat.
Right, so he's out.
He's out. But Zverev.
Zverev, yeah.
You know what his deal is?
He's
a shirt lifter.
Yeah, he is a shirt lifter. I mean, that's what he does.
And it's really
doesn't
weird
even
little
use a
tech.
Towel. He just pulls up his shirt.
He takes a... his like fingertips,
yeah.
pulls his shirt up a tiny bit,
mm-hmm.
and then kind of lets it go.
Yeah,
and I think it's more of a tick than a
like air conditioning
ab cooling.
Yeah, all right.
System.
Well, there are definitely some abs there. So
he's got like a six pack of 40s.
Yeah, exactly.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah,
it's ridiculous.
It is ridiculous.
And
he's 23 years old.
He lives in Monte Carlo.
Yeah, Monte Carlo.
Where I told Michael this.
Yeah,
over
I've
the
got
weekend.
It on. I've got it on good authority. A glass of water can cost you maybe up to $20, $10 to $20.
If you go to Monte Carlo, mm-hmm. and you go to a waterfront coffee place,
yeah.
and you order, or a bar or whatever, and you order a glass of water.
Glass of water.
You're going to get a check for probably €7. This is midday.
Mm-hmm.
You
and
know,
you're not
for
getting
around
any
$10.
Ice in it either. So I don't know what you were thinking.
Well, that's a whole other.
I know, but come on, don't even
thing.
Ask.
But if you're 21, I mean, you know, the price is there. I was thinking about the fact this guy lives there, this 23-year-old
yeah.
who was born in Russia, and then his parents moved to Germany. So he's a German citizen with a Russian name, and he lives in freaking Monte Carlo.
Yeah. Yeah. What a life, huh?
I mean...
And he got into his first final in a major ever.
Right.
Now that is cool.
Yeah, so $1.5 million for him.
Right. Except, he had to play the guy, and that was really something. That was some of the coolest tennis.
Yeah.
And some of the worst tennis, actually, to tell mm-hmm. you the truth, that I've seen.
Yep.
Because they went back and forth, and oh man, it team at the end of the tennis match couldn't even walk.
Oh, his, those guys. I mean, they legs, ended up in a fifth set tiebreak.
Yeah.
So they had played
4 hours or whatever, 4.5 hours, right?
Yes. I want to just quote one price to you.
Okay.
In Monte Carlo, there's a 77 square meter apartment.
Uh-huh. Okay. Wow.
Okay.
Yeah, that's not that big.
No. And it is 11,500 euros a month. I mean, I know. It's a crazy, crazy place to live.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Boy, oh boy.
But this punk can do it.
He sure can. Yeah.
And, yes, I...
He just made $1.5 million for 3-4 hours work, so that's
pretty
cool.
He did cry his eyes out at the end and say that he missed his parents.
Well, I mean, they had never missed one of his matches, you know, so... And this was his the biggest match he'd ever had.
Mm-hmm.
And he came 10 times to within... to championship point.
Mm-hmm. Well, in the exactly, and I really thought that this time, you know, Germany was going to again successfully invade Austria.
Yeah,
with like no resistance, and it didn't happen. Austria pulled it out.
It was really incredible, actually.
Now, Serena,
yeah,
Serena kind of. Did what I expected as far as the tennis is concerned.
Okay.
She made it to Azarenka. And, you know, she made it to the semifinal, but Azarenka beat her. But she was doing a thing. Serena does her costumes.
Yeah.
And her costume for this was this red organza jacket. Huge, oversized
red organza.
Yeah, it was
really quite the jacket.
With like ribbons hanging off it.
Yeah.
And so she would put that on, walk onto the court, take it off. And underneath she was wearing very simple millennial pink tennis dress.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Nothing like you sort of expect.
Right.
You know, it's a cat suit, the black cat suit with the red pinstripes and, you know, something. But no, this was just sort of normal, and she looked great.
That black cat suit.
Yeah.
Was, well.
That was a thing.
That was in the olden days. Now, Osaka.
Yeah.
Who ended up beating Azarenka.
Yeah, well, that was pretty easily decided, right? I mean,
well, Azarenka won the first set.
Yeah, but then it kind of went down. She went downhill from there pretty quickly.
Well, so. Osaka does this thing that I have a hard time with. It's like the Nadal, you know. Spectacles, testicles, wallet, and watch type of thing that he does.
Right, yeah.
You know, get the hair behind the ears, pull the shirt up, pull the thing out of the butt crack. Whatever he does, those little... You know what I'm talking about,
right?
Oh,
yeah. Yeah, it's a ritual.
Osaka has one.
Oh, I never noticed.
She does what I refer to as the Tracy Morgan dance. And if you've been a Saturday Night Live watcher in your life, you may have seen the Christmas song. Who sings it? Horatio Sands?
Horatio, yeah.
I don't care Jimmy. What your mama say. Christmas is coming today.
Chris Kattan. Hey,
Right. And the, Tracy, it's the four of them, and they do this funny little stupid song.
Wearing awful Christmas sweaters.
Right.
Yep.
And it's adorable.
Yeah, it's really...
I love it.
It's a great thing. It's a very Christmassy thing for me. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so Tracy's job, he doesn't sing, he doesn't play an instrument, he just jogs in place.
Yep. But not really.
Not at a high pace.
Yeah, it's more just moving his elbows and hands.
Yeah,
than
he's doing
else.
A bop, yeah. a thing. All right, that's a Tracy Morgan dance.
Right.
Okay, Osaka does that before every point, and then she takes her left fist and she gives herself three little punches on the thigh.
Oh, yeah. I did notice the smack on the thigh.
Every time.
And then I was also wondering if it's, maybe it's because that muscle, you know, because that leg is really bound up.
No, she does that always.
Yeah.
Oh, meanwhile, they all had the same injury.
Yeah.
Every single damn one of those women, except did Azarenka have it? They had their left thigh wrapped.
Yeah.
It was very strange.
It was strange, yeah. Maybe that was a fashion thing. I don't know. Yeah.
You
could be.
You would think, and yet.
Yeah.
No, you would know.
No,
anyway,
I wouldn't think that, really. Well, I did think that. Sorry. Never mind.
Are we done?
Yeah, I'm done.
Are you over that?
Over what?
Exactly. Okay, so the clothes, team. One
team
Osaka won, and it was really great. And Djokovic, you know, it's cut and dry. He deserved to go. He did the wrong thing, and so he had to go.
Yeah,
even if it wasn't on purpose.
You know, I saw a thing about team this morning where the reporter asked him, you know, how do you feel getting out of bed today after winning the U.S. Open. And he said, I don't know because I haven't been to bed yet.
Oh.
He said, I didn't sleep for a second.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah. He says, we were sitting having dinner in the room until like 4 a.m. He said, I couldn't fall asleep, but, you know, it's fine. I'm fine. Everything's great.
Well, so, I like it.
Yeah, me too.
I like it.
And I like him.
Yeah, he's got a highlight problem with his hair.
Well, that is the one thing. Yeah, I saw it like last year somewhere he did that and like, oh boy. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, he could whatever.
He could. Yeah.
He's got dark hair. He's very handsome. And he puts in, like, kind of rando silver highlights.
Yeah.
And it's just, I don't know.
Like, he's, you know, he's got the sun in, and he just kind of spraying it in a little line there. And
oh, that's not sun in, honey. That is serious bleach. Serious bleach. Okay, this thing, you know, we have not discussed the vow. And we need to discuss the vow.
Okay, this is the television program.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, for those of you who don't know...
It's called The Vow. Okay, go. Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Good pickup.
Thanks.
Good pickup. It's called The Vow.
Mm-hmm.
It's about NXIVM. And NXIVM is an MLM... multi-level marketing scam that started in Albany, New York, where else, in 1999 or something.
Okay, huh.
And this guy, I can't think of his name, his last name, Keith.
Keith, yeah.
Keith.
Yeah.
Started this thing. And basically, a lot of it was stolen from Est. Any of you who are old enough to remember.
Yeah, I remember when it was a thing.
Some Est.
Yeah.
But what it is they... It's a self-improvement thing. and you go up this ladder, right?
Right, okay.
It's endless, the ladder, by the way.
Yeah.
But you start as a novice, and then you work on yourself and get hypnotized.
Okay.
Basically, into believing a bunch of garbage. I don't know how to explain it. It's like televangelism.
Oh, yeah, it's very much
it's like
it. Yeah.
You do this, your life's going to get better.
Yeah.
I need a private plane, and your donation to that
will make
is going to make your life better.
Yeah.
And it's going to open you to prosperity.
Well, yeah, and it's going to give you some structure. And I mean, that's a lot of it. People are flailing, looking for a little sense of structure in their lives, and this promises that.
Well,
but
these
doesn't mean it's a good thing.
These people are, it's incredible what it started out to be and ultimately what it turned into, which was basically a kind of a sex trafficking thing within the group.
Right. Now, that's how it ended, not how
right.
it started.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Yes. And so, ultimately, now, Ally Mack is an actress.
Okay. Yeah.
That you may know from Smallville.
Smallville, yeah.
And some other stuff on television. Was among some of the sort of Hollywood people. India Hicks. Her mother, not India Hicks. That's a funny mistake.
Uh-huh.
And if you know it, you know it. India Oxenberg was one of the NXIVM victims also. Her mother, Catherine Oxenberg, was on Dallas.
Yes, I remember her.
So some of the people they've rounded up are like, you know, Scientology types.
And if you, hey, you know what? I just looked this up myself. And if you want to look it up, this whole NXIVM thing, you have to spell it the right way.
Yeah.
Which is NXIVM.
Yeah. That's the thing.
That is the thing. So
they have something called an executive success program, which ESP, all this stuff will sound familiar,
yeah.
But it's closed slightly differently. I am very embarrassed to say that one of the women behind this thing that was bankrolling this is someone that I have a slight connection to.
Oh, no.
Yeah, her name's Claire Bronfman.
Oh, and okay.
And her cousin was a good, good friend of mine who is deceased. But when I saw the Bronfman name, I almost fainted. That's the Seagrams family up in Canada.
Oh.
That they do all the... Anyway, so this thing turned into a nightmare of a cult. And got very, very complicated. They did this thing called Dominus Obsequious Sororium.
Okay. Yeah, that's really good.
A women's group within NXIVM, a secret sisterhood.
Ah, okay.
And the first reports of this came out in 2017. And the members were referred to as slaves.
Yes, yeah.
And they were branded.
Oh, that's right. With I forgot this part. Yeah.
That have the initials AM for Ally Mack and KR for Keith Raniere.
Wow.
They are branded on their hips right next to their vaginas.
That is just wrong.
Yep. And
absolutely wrong.
Yep. So they're blindfolded. They're naked. They get held down by Mac. Now, Allison Mack is this tiny little beautiful woman who has turned into a complete murderous, torturous psychopath.
Yeah.
They use collateral.
That they do. And it's required to go further up the ladder, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
So, well, it also keeps you from getting... So what the collateral is before you join DOS is that you have to... You get assigned a master. So say Allie would be my master. It's all women. There are masters and slaves. And you are assigned to this person who has to get collateral from you.
Yeah.
So what they want is videos, pictures, browsing histories, anything that would attach you to anything you would not want to come out.
Right. Yeah. Publicly. Exactly. Blackmail material.
Yes. And they demand that you give them what they call collateral.
Right.
And so anytime you say, you know, this is, and you're calorie restricted.
Oh, yeah.
I think
you're severely.
You're at like 500 calories a day, I think. And you have to ask your master for permission to eat.
Right, to eat a certain number of calories.
You send a text, master, may I consume 74 calories? I'm not kidding.
Yeah.
People watch this. It's a documentary series. It's called The Vow. It's on HBO. You will not freaking believe what you are seeing.
Mm.
That this description doesn't even I call it gasp television because you're just constantly...
Yeah, it's completely unbelievable stuff.
You know, and this can't be true, and doesn't she see, and don't they know? And can you imagine Allie Mack holding you down?
No.
You know, or let's pick, I don't know.
Or Catherine Oxenberg's daughter, India. Yeah.
Yeah. She was in something too. And I can't remember.
Yeah, and then there's another one.
There's a bunch
Catherine
of them.
Catherine Croik, is that how you pronounce that? Anyway, she was also in Smallville, and she's the one that got Allie into it to begin with.
Yeah. No, this whole thing is just insane. Just insane.
And there's a Battlestar Galactica actress named Nikki Klein who's in there.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a whole bunch of people who have resources.
Yeah, yeah.
And so the idea that, you know, this is, yeah, it's a Lonely Hearts Club, but, you know, don't be fooled. The Lonely Hearts are in L.A., a lot of them.
Yeah, yeah.
You know.
There you go, yeah. That's where they go, I guess.
Yeah, there's a bunch of them in Washington. I don't know what they're doing there.
Well, they moved from California for one reason or another. Yeah.
So anyway, law enforcement representatives allege that members of DOS were forced into sexual slavery, which they were. So these women get the brand, they give up the collateral, they have to get down to a particular weight.
Yeah.
And then Keith will have sex with you.
Right. Yep. Because he can't get it up if you weigh too much.
Is that it?
Yes, that is.
You're kidding!
No. Nope, he would blame his lack of ability on... if Rainier felt she wasn't thin enough, he would blame his erection problems on her weight.
Oh, so that's not true, but it's what he would say.
Right, yeah.
Oh, my God. Meanwhile, look up this guy.
Oh, Keith Raniere?
Keith Raniere.
Yeah.
Talk about someone who could lose a few. Have you seen him on the basketball court with that gut?
No, no.
I mean, this man is not obese, but he certainly is.
Yeah, he's not. Yeah, he's a hypocrite. Yeah.
Well, Surprise. He's a psychopath.
Yeah.
But I mean, this is not like some attractive man telling you, you know, why anyone wants to be with him. Is beyond me.
It does seem a little weird. He's got like a, I don't know, Uber nerd written all over him.
Oh, he's
right?
So hideous.
Yeah.
So hideous. And so they would do an intensive workshop, 12 hours daily for 16 days.
Yeah, very expensive too, by the way, to do that.
$8,000.
Yeah.
So anyhow, massive scam.
Yeah.
And I can't believe that it hasn't gotten more press.
Well, I mean, since all of these shows are coming out, that maybe, you know, maybe more will be coming, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Sometimes you have to bring it to people's attention.
Mm-hmm. Well,
you know, that's what I was thinking. I was,
yeah, the whole thing, beginning in July, you know, 2 months ago, NXIVM loyalists were organizing dance protests outside the detention center, the prison, where they're holding Raniere.
Mm-hmm.
And they call themselves We Are As You, includes actor Nikki Klein, branding doctor Danielle Robert. Branding doctor?
That's the one. Uh-huh. Great.
Are you kidding me?
That's great.
Because Allie did a couple of these herself.
Oh, that's fantastic. You need that. An amateur branding you down by the hoo-ha.
Yeah.
Yeah, great.
Yeah, no, it's a crotchal brand.
Yeah. Ugh. And it also becomes, you know, further collateral, right? Take pictures of that, now you got this brand on your...
Well, no, they were saying is, you know, this one woman was told it was like a tattoo... And it was no big deal, and it was the symbol.
Yeah.
That was a mountain and water and a bridge going over the water. Well,
if you
look at it sideways, you realize it's A.M. and K.R., Allie Mack and Keith Raniere.
Gotcha. Yep.
Anyway, watch the damn show.
The Vow. That's what it's called.
Yeah, and you can watch a bunch of fancy people getting into deep
yeah.
doo-doo and branding each other.
That's
this
great.
Idea of women making a sorority where they brand each other,
yeah.
have master and slave relationships.
It's very
and
weird.
Stick to like 500 calorie diets.
Yeah.
These women are thin already.
Yeah.
These women are going from, you know, typical to small sizes.
Right, yeah. Yeah.
And they're turning into, you know, prison camp survivors, which is what they are.
Right. And it's kind of what they look like.
Yeah.
By the time they get done, yeah.
I got to talk about Frankie and John. Johnny?
Frankie and...
Grace.
Yeah. Frankie and Grace?
And, yes.
Yeah.
And...
Lily Tomlin, Jane Fonda... Also, what is that? Also HBO or what channel is
Netflix.
That? Netflix. Okay, mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I
Martin Sheen, Sam Waterston.
I was very against this show when mm-hmm. it came out. Just something visceral. Not really against it. I just did not want to watch it.
Okay.
And didn't quite cut that close to the bone, but the story is this, and you find this out in episode one, so this isn't a spoiler.
Right. No, it's
two couples that are friends. Turns out the men have been in love with each other for 20 years and have decided it's time to let their wives know, dissolve their marriages to these women.
Right.
And then
marry each other.
So you've got Martin Sheen. Sam Waterston.
Yeah. Just
madly in love with each other.
Yeah, just making out.
Not quite. They don't do the making out. I mean, they do the lip.
Do a lot of snogging. Yeah.
I don't call that snog. They do like the one kiss.
The movie kiss.
Longer than. What are you talking about over there?
Well, I mean, they're kissing a lot.
Yeah, but in other words, I don't. There's not like tongue. There's not a tongue situation.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Yeah.
All right. So. Look, there are people out there who can't watch any of that.
Okay.
And so let's say, yes, they're making out like crazy all the time. Anyway, Grace and Frankie end up living in Frankie's house. And Saul and what the hell is his name?
I don't know. Louis?
Martin Sheen's character.
What's this in The Vow? What's that called?
Grace and Frankie. On purpose, are you doing this?
No, I don't know who.
All right. Anyway, I can't think of his name, but Robert. So,
Robert and Saul. Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
Robert and Saul. Anyway, let me tell you right now. Grace and Frankie got canceled by Netflix.
Oh, man.
After 6 seasons.
Mm-hmm.
He
sure did.
Well, anyway, the thing that went wrong with it, and that's going wrong for me, and I'm sort of into season 2. Sam Waterston's portrayal of a gay man,
mm-hmm.
I find absurd.
You do?
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, here's the thing. If he's kind of mincy.
Right.
Any worries... And he's definitely got more feminine, well, let's put it this way, classically feminine archetype stuff going on. Martin doesn't.
No, he's pretty...
straight?
Pretty straight, yeah. Really?
I mean, he plays it straight, which I appreciate. Uh-huh. You know, it's like...
Well, how much is that is, you know, playing it that way and what the writers are giving them, you know?
I still think that Sam could have done a better job with that role.
All right.
Now, one of the reasons it got canceled is because people started to get really upset about that homosexual relationship. Surprise!
Oh, really? Wow, okay.
Doesn't that seem like so dated?
Yeah, that seems really very silly.
And it's a Netflix show?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't get it. But there's some cute stuff in it. And I think the cutest stuff is Lily Tomlin. Lily Tomlin absolutely is this character.
Uh-huh.
She is Frankie.
She's
and
pretty great.
She's an artsy, crunchy, granola, Jewish, liberal, artist.
Yeah.
You know, and she has that nailed. She has it nailed. And she does things like smudge, You know, she does all that stuff. But then you have Grace, Jane Fonda. Jane Fonda plays Jane Fonda.
Yeah.
And she does it just fine.
Yeah.
And there's not one thing about that woman that doesn't seem like Jane Fonda, except the fact that it's hard for me to imagine Jane Fonda, Grace, whatever you want to call her, ever spending more than a weekend with Frankie.
Yeah.
I don't see it. I don't see it.
Okay.
I mean,
that's not unreasonable, really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the two of them do some insane things. They go hunting down boyfriends from college.
Right. They go to the bar and where Frankie used to dance on the table 30
right.
years ago.
She gets up into you. Yeah. There's a bunch of stuff like that.
Yeah.
But it also... it. Shines a bright and very uncomfortable eye on aging.
Mm.
And these women and men who are talking about, we only have, they're in their early 70s. They're all like 71, 72. And they're saying, you know, how much time do we have together? That's
right.
going to be 10 years? If we're lucky, maybe more, 85.
Yeah, right.
But they know they're looking at, you know.
Yeah, there is, the end of the tunnel is not far out of sight.
Right.
Yeah.
And hearing them confront all of that stuff makes me just have to have more than the usual amount of Xanax when I watch that show.
Okay, maybe that's why it got canceled. I don't know.
Yeah, it's
all their viewers were falling asleep.
It's pretty benign. If you're racist, a homophobe, or an anti-Semite.
Yeah, not your show.
Not your show.
Yeah.
Not your show.
No.
But otherwise it's gentle and it's sweet. And
Lily Tomlin is awesome.
She is fabulous. And
love
she makes
so
excellent
much.
Choices as an actress. She really, really does.
I saw her in person. Was I with you?
Where was that? John? Where were we?
It might have been the Melody Tent.
No,
I don't know. Where were we?
We didn't see her in a performance. She was in the audience of something we also went to.
Oh, okay. Well, I've seen her in a stand do a show.
Oh,
so maybe so you didn't see that.
You were with your whoever it was.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Well.
So the vow.
Yeah.
Frankie, Johnny,
and Grace and Johnny and.
I came upon something recently.
A Midnight Clear?
Hmm? No, but it did.
Oh, okay. Yes.
The Stuffed Owl.
Oh, we did speak about this before, yeah.
Published in 1936.
So cool.
The worst poems ever written.
Mm-hmm. The worst anthology, or the best anthology of the worst poems.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Get it.
Now, I did read quite a few things, including what they mean by the worst poems.
Worst verse, yeah.
Right, because these are the best worst poems, because they're not breaking the forms, you know, or anything. They're not doing it technically badly. They're just picking the wrong words.
But there's also sarcasm.
Right.
Some of these pieces are written by very famous poets.
Yes, yeah.
You know, so...
Yeah, Wordsworth is right in the beginning of the book.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's a mixture of intentionally bad, unintentionally bad.
Right.
It's all there. I've been sending them around the world. What else? Jody.
Hi, Jody.
I hope you're listening.
Hi, Jody.
Yeah. Yeah, Jody gave me some online I'm going to say excuse.
Jody gave you an excuse?
Yeah, for the fact that he doesn't listen to the show that much anymore.
Uh-huh, okay.
Because he's got a night job.
Okay, right.
I can't remember if it's because he works at night or he got a day job, so he sleeps at night.
Okay.
Whatever it is, something about a job and sleep hygiene.
Okay, right.
And I pointed out, dude.
Yeah.
It's available 24/7.
Yeah.
It's a podcast. It's a radio show. That's a podcast.
That's right.
A radio show.
Yeah.
On WOMR 92.1 FM in Provincetown and
WFMR 91.3
Orleans. So
that's the one.
That's the one right here.
Yeah.
This week is a very important week for Jews, but for everyone, even if you don't know.
Mm-hmm.
It's Rosh Hashanah.
Yeah.
And it's the new year, the Jewish New Year.
Happy New Year.
And
Shana Tova.
And we own everything.
Right, yeah.
So Happy New Year to you also.
Mm-hmm.
Without us, there would be nothing, right?
Right, yeah.
Welcome to the year 5781.
Yeah.
When we
26th of Elul.
26th of Elul?
Yeah, right.
Today?
Yeah, isn't it?
Well, the first... Oh, I don't know what it is today.
Yeah, I think so.
But Rosh Hashanah is on the first of Tishrei.
Right, but 26th is today.
Yeah. Michael and I got married on the first of Elul, which we were told was an auspicious day, good day to get married.
Good day for that.
Now, there's something that occurred to me when our rabbi told me that. I figured out there's probably a manual, a rabbi manual with all the auspicious dates in it. I don't know. I have to think on that. It may be the exact opposite, where like it's impossible to find a good day.
Well, yeah, that sounds pretty Jewish.
That sounds, yeah. At any rate, I wish you all a sweet, healthy, happy New Year. Dip some apple in honey, have a little challah, a glass of wine, light some whatever. Whatever you love to do and gives you comfort for 5781 and joy. And please, put a light on.
In a world that's gotten better, so let's bring in a healthy new year. Wait and see what a world there can be. And we know that there's always tomorrow. Otire, kamatomie, bashana, bashana. Hashem yashtizraf betocha.